I believe in myself. I risk curiosity, spontaneous delight, and every human spirit experience. I believe in myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I believe in myself. Now that's quite a statement to make. Can you make that for yourself? And of course you spontaneously shake your head, yes, you know, oh, of course I believe in myself, I believe in myself. Well, would that it were so. Do you risk curiosity, spontaneous delight, and every human spirit experience when you believe in yourself? You think so. When you believe in yourself, you never put yourself at risk. You never give in to curiosity, and you never give in to every human experience. You turn yourself totally to the divine. Now, the world today is having a great fiesta at the demise of the Pope. And generally speaking, the majority of the world has absolutely no interest in the Catholic Church because they're not a member of it. The Catholic Church has quite a few members, but not the totality of the earth and not the majority. Yet, it's a significant organization that has brought Christianity through the ages to where we are now. And it has even taught us to believe in ourselves. The teachings of Jesus are, man, know thyself. Believe in yourself. It is done unto you according to your belief. These were the teachings so powerfully and so wonderfully intended. And these teachings are quite significant. If I were to say, Ingeborg, would you tell me what I should do? And Ingeborg would say, about what? Well, what shoes should I wear today when I'm going out to this banquet? And she'd say, Herb, you always know the right shoes to wear because you believe in yourself. You follow your own inner guidance. But Ingeborg, you have such good taste in shoes. That's very true. I have good taste in shoes for me, but not for somebody else. Now you have good taste in shoes for you. But Ingeborg, I've always depended on you in the past. Well, I was mistaken to be guiding you rather than having you learn to guide yourself. Because as long as I'm going to guide you, you will not guide yourself. Oh, Ingeborg, you're just trying to get out of telling me what shoes I should wear. And no, Herb, perhaps I should have done that a long time ago, but I don't do that. I teach you how to follow what's going on inside of yourself, to believe in yourself. Now you see, we have a great interest in the event that's going on now with the burial of the Pope and so forth, and who the new Pope is going to be and so forth. It's sort of like a movie star. We say, who is the new husband going to be for the beautiful movie star? And who is Oprah running around with now, and who is she dumped, and who is she going to pick up, you know, because she's one of the wealthy women of the world. Well, since when does that have significance for us in who we choose? Oprah is making choices because she's so such a public figure that everybody is concerned about her because she's news. Whereas if the lady next door were making a change, one or two neighbors might gossip, but otherwise the world wouldn't care. It would make no impact on the world. What makes an impact is whether Oprah Winfrey believes in herself, not who she runs around with, although who she runs around with is an indication of how she believes in herself. Now, what kind of a woman does Oprah Winfrey feel that she is? Is she a quality woman? Is she a woman with background, of church background? Is she a woman with values? And she likes to think that she is. Now, are the things that she does indicative of her values, that she believes in herself? Now, that is our question. Not what she does or what she doesn't do, but are the things that she does indicative of who she is? What kind of pope have we had? He's been an ordinary pope, a little extraordinary because he's living in an extraordinary time. Now, certainly the earlier popes didn't have jet airplanes to fly around in, and they didn't have people being so mobile that they could come from all points of the world and come visit him. And I don't believe a Dalai Lama has ever visited the pope before, and many other things. But now, why are these people visiting the pope? Because they too are being themselves and associating with the world and putting out their good vibes. Now, do you think the Dalai Lama may have said something significant to the pope that the pope was able to respond to? And quite likely, yes. Now, do you think that people come to Oprah Winfrey's show and say significant things that she guides her life on? And yes. Now, how can that be with the plethora of people who come to her show? Because she chooses them. She chooses them ahead of time. She has certain parameters that she sets for her show. And anyone who wants to be on her show, or that she wants on her show, must fit in those parameters. Now, it's not the same parameters that a talk show might have, like a king who would be having his show, and he's out to challenge people and challenge their beliefs and challenge their convictions, and it makes a good copy for him. I feel that I like to associate with people who are harmonious with what I believe. I like to associate with people who believe what I believe, who have the same convictions that I have, the same virtues and vices, yeah, sure, the same virtues and values that I have. I like to believe in myself, and I like to believe in people who are around me. And if somebody is around me who doesn't have a belief as I do, then that doesn't interest me. Mm-hmm. Now you say, well, that doesn't give you a broad understanding of people. That doesn't build you a broad base of living and so forth. Well, what do I want to do? Do I want to be in paradise right now? Do I want to be in heaven right now? Or do I want to be in purgatory and in hell? You know, do I want to have all these neat experiences that the world offers? Do I want to have crashes and tornadoes and floods and things like that? Or do I want to surround myself with beautiful things? Now, stop and think. Stop and think. The Catholic Church teaches the Catholic Church philosophy, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Vatican, where is that located?
Rome.
The Vatican is located in Rome. How many bad fires, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods have you heard of going through the Vatican?
None.
How many unhappy things have you heard of taking place in the Vatican?
Very few.
If ever.
If ever.
Okay, now. Why? Because they're one-pointed. If every city and every country in the world were as one-pointed as the Vatican is, they too would experience beautiful weather, no acts of God, silly things to call them, no hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, fires, you know, disasters. But the Vatican, the Catholic Church, will only allow itself to be concerned with what it knows and what it believes in itself. Now, we may not believe what the Catholic Church believes, but we're not too far from it. We may not believe what the Catholic Church believes, but the Catholic Church believes in itself. And therefore, it does not associate with things that are not itself. It does not participate in activities that are not itself. It does not go to a warring country with guns. It goes to a warring country with the Dove of Peace. Mm-hmm. Now, earlier popes did go and make war. They did do all the normal things that a nation would do. But as the church grew up and realized what its place was and what its position in the world, and that it held a great deal more power as a peacemaking organization than a war-making organization, it refrained from any war-making activities. Oh, it has made war. It has made war in its history. But in its recent history, it has not done that. It has made peace wherever possible. Now, what sort of values have you got? When you were a little boy or girl, your mother said, oh, just kick him in the pants, throw stones at him, and things like that. They're naughty kids. You don't want anything to do with them. And then as you grew up, you associated with good kids, kids who thought like you did, kids who lived like you did, kids who had values and virtues as you do. And the other children are still there doing their thing, but you are not associating with them. So I tell people who are students of the university, be as broad as you like in your thinking. Be as broad as you like in your interest level. Study all the pornography on earth and study all of the wars and all of the anger and the hatreds and all of the misconduct on earth. Read all about it. Listen to your newspapers. Read it in your books and go into television and listen to all that stuff. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we're going to think those things in our heart, because we're putting them there, then so are we. Now, I think the statement is very charming and very real. What would Jesus say if he saw you doing that? What would God say if he saw you doing that? But what would Jesus say if he saw you doing that? Parents often say that to their children. Now, is that the act of a good boy, a good girl? What would Jesus say if he saw you doing that? And better, we teach ourselves, hey, what do you think of what you're doing? What do you think of what you're doing? You're reading books about cowboys, 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 cowboys. You're just a cowboy buff. And pretty soon you're going to want to get yourself a ranch. You're going to want to get yourself some horses. You're going to be a cowboy. And that's okay. Now, you read all the pornographic stuff. Pretty soon you want to participate in the pornographic things, because the stuff you're putting in your mind is the stuff that you're interested in. You're reading books on war, 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 Where are the war? Well, first, they sell them by the millions, really. First World War, Second World War, the Civil War even, and there they have to make it up from pictures and whatever, and we say, oh, how wonderful. Well, oh, how sad. We teach, if you have an illness, and it was brought on by your being constantly eating the wrong foods, we say to you, don't get angry at the wrong foods. Just get familiar with the right foods, the foods that are beneficial to you. And if you keep going back, and I would never eat that food made me sick, and that food did this, and that food did that. It's like when my mother moved along, she left all of her stuff, and I ended up getting it. And in the passel was a lot of aluminum ware, beautiful aluminum pots and pans and everything under the sun. Well, my son had a friend, Robert, who had a little food poisoning, and they said the food poisoning was from aluminum. And so Mark, on behalf of Robert, on behalf of his wisdom, took all of the aluminum pots and pans Mother had given to me, or at least I got, and threw them out. Didn't even sell them to somebody, threw them out. They didn't want to contribute to somebody else's unhappiness. Well, now, from one point of view, that's a very noble thing to do. The very noble thing to do, to just destroy them. And if you're stopping smoking, don't give your cigarettes to somebody else who's still smoking. Don't keep them going. If you stop drinking alcohol, don't give your leftover alcohol to somebody who's still drinking. Let them buy their own. But you're not contributing to people. And if people want to borrow money from you and buy drugs, say, oh, no. Well, no, I want to buy food. Okay, let's go down to the store. We'll buy some food. You know, if I believe in you and you believe in you, let's do that. You know. So, you see, when we start paying attention, as we're doing right now, to the Pope as a charming adventure, and we're so aware of every little nitty-gritty of what the Pope is doing, that we dash to our internet and look him up and check him out, I have completely disposed of all televisions that are hooked up to television stations because I felt that that was a distraction. Not that it's wrong, but it's a distraction. And we buy videos that we like to watch, and even some of the videos turn out to be a little sour. But basically, they're fairly decent. Now, what do you think my opinion is of looking at the internet at the coronation of the Pope? And he's being coronated into a new level of consciousness, you know. And what do you think my opinion of that is?
Distraction.
I'm not against it in the slightest. It's just that it's a distraction. And the time and enthusiasm that you spend for something like that, if you were spending on saying, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, in your world, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, in your world. If you were to spend the time doing that instead of doing the other, well, that would be another 2 minutes, 2 hours toward a very beneficial purpose. Now, I said this the other day. I said this the other day that whatever the Pope does is his business. We're not concerned. We don't put our consciousness there. I played a little game of Rita and Don being the Pope and Popus, you know. And that's just a charming little thought. But the whole idea is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where are your thoughts? Do you have enough hours in a day? Do you have enough time in the universe of all time for you to give any thought to something that is not beneficial to you? I think that you should learn mathematics. I think that you'd make a wonderful mathematician. I think that you would be an exquisite mathematician because you have a sense for it. And you say, but I'm not interested in math. Well, I am your father and you're a little girl, and so you must learn math because I tell you to. You know? And so all your life you hate math. And you have wasted your time. Now, if I, as your father, said, okay, Sylvia, what sort of things turn you on? And then I bring into your vision all sorts of ideas, ideas of being a student, ideas of being a homemaker, ideas of being a gardener, and ideas of, you know, all sorts of fun type things that would be the possibility of a young lady growing up, you know. And then you say, oh, what I really want to do is be a dress designer, you know. Oh, I like to design dresses for my dolls, you know. Or what I really want to do is be a philosopher, you know. Just go around talking about philosophy, talking about my ideals and my dreams. And what I really want to do, and you see, just because you're a genius at mathematics doesn't mean that's where your dream is, where your desire is. You could be a normal person with a slight autistic turn toward being a genius in mathematics, which has no interest. You merely opened up that little avenue in you for it. Now, I say, if that is true, open up other avenues inside of you. Find out what your other sparkling ideas are and other sparkling, radiant thoughts are. I sound so cruel by saying you should not listen to anything that is not going to be uplifting to your total spiritual growth, but that's what we teach. That's what we teach. And if we're going to allow ourselves to risk curiosity, risk spontaneous delight, risk every human spirit experience, if we're going to risk it, well, why risk it? Why not risk it on something that is worthwhile? Like, risk it on saying, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. All is in divine order. Say, risking that, oh my God, what if my divine order is not what I want? Well, you can be sure it will be. Because that's what divine order is. It is what you really want. And if what you want is pornographic things, well, then that's what you will follow. That's what you will do. And there's no getting around it. And if that's not what you want, then don't waste your time diddle-daddling along on that. Don't risk your curiosity in areas that are not going to be how your life fulfillment is designed to be by your own inner desire. You see, many youngsters are raised in the ghetto, are raised in poverty. Many youngsters are raised with limited education, limited anything. And many of those youngsters rise right out of that because they have a dream, they have a desire, and they dedicate themselves to educating themselves, to preparing themselves to follow this dream. They don't really know that they're doing it each step of the way, but they have a dream in their mind, and they're doing everything they can to follow that dream. They don't know why they're getting a job working for some company. If the job is available, you know, so they got that job and now they got money, they can eat. But that job leads them into other areas in that company, to other awarenesses of what the company does, and all of a sudden, hey, that's a company that does things that I'm interested in, you know. And you took the job in the beginning not realizing that that was what it was, but you listened to, I am divinely guided, all is in divine order. You listen and follow it. Now, you don't have time. You don't have time to be in the Olympics and do other things too. When you are running for the Olympics or doing anything, you're working day and night on your preparation of your skill. If you're running, you're running, learning running, practicing running, psychology of running, doing all that stuff. If you're swimming, my goodness, you're swimming a lot. If you're doing all these things, you see what I'm saying? So when you walk your spiritual path, you really don't have time to be on your human sight and the human adventure. Now, if your human adventure is done from your spiritual point of view, good. But if your human adventure is merely to satisfy your human lusts, your human body, your human attitudes, think about it. Perhaps there's something missing there. And the watching of the Pope and seeing that is so human. I mean, the guy's dead. There's nothing to come from watching it except a lot of pomp and ceremony. You watch the Queen being crowned, you know, and you say, oh my, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? And sure it is, but they go on and on and on and on for hours, you know, making it something significant. And what happened when Jesus was baptized? The dove appeared, and the words supposedly were, this is my son of whom I'm most proud. Cup! One little short message that said it all. And eternally, that is the foundation upon which we believe in the story. We don't believe in the Mary Immaculate Birth. We don't believe in those things. It's charming and it's possible. Never been done before, never been done since that we know about. And we don't believe in the healings of Jesus because these are other people's points of view. But when we hear of the dove coming out of heaven saying, this is my son in whom I'm most proud, then we believe in the Christ story. Now you say, well, I had never even known that part of the story. Well, those around you did, and they passed on that belief to you. INTA is going through a very interesting experience of trying to rename, not rename, but redefine what New Thought means. And one woman said that Charles Myrtle Fillmore called it Practical Christianity. Well, what a lovely name that satisfies everything they want to do and alienates every non-Christian from the New Thought movement, which is a silly thing to do. Because the New Thought movement is allowing everyone to have an opportunity to reach inside of themselves and find the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, perhaps, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of allness, and live from that center. Now, that's a very simple statement. The Fillmores were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. They founded Unity School of Christianity. And instead of giving a complex definition to their teaching, they just called it Practical Christianity, the School of Practical Christianity. And their school today is blossoming beautifully all over the world, as it has been for many, many years, almost 100 years. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But you see, they couldn't have done it if they allowed themselves to study and research outside of their own field. They couldn't have done it if they had a great interest in everything else except in what they were doing. Charles Fillmore was a very interesting man. I had the privilege of meeting him a couple times when we were student ministers at the school there. We were taken over to his house, to the great guru's house, and it was quite an honor. And as we did this, even then, his total interest was in itself, was in the teachings, were in what it had to share. And I think if we can do that for the ideas that God Unlimited shares, the University of Healing shares, we can do a wonderful thing for ourselves and for the world in which we live in. So think on these things and have a good time. Ellen has complained that sometimes my talks are 30 minutes and they're a little difficult to sit through, but I believe in myself, and I'm not about to risk curiosity, spontaneous delight, and every human spirit experience. I'm going to remain true to the divine in me and listen to it and follow it. Love it, believe it, and be myself and have fun. So, have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.